Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad to be with you wherever you are all over the world, and we thank the Lord that we can look back at the time where Jesus died on the cross for our sins and then was buried and rose from the dead. And because of that, our sins have been paid for, and by faith in him we have eternal life. And so the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. And that's the thing that we can rejoice about no matter where we are, what our situation is, because he is our coming King. He is the one that paid for our sins. We'll meet him in heaven without any record we've ever sinned. But we'll start today with our scientific report, the Bible and science, and then we'll talk about the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and the meaning of it for us today.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and good to be on with you again. And just a reminder that you can learn more about Bruce and his program at the website whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And if you'll go there, you can find out more information, as well as you can listen to some past programs there. And you can also link to some of the various materials that Bruce has recommended from time to time. And that's all at whereisgodsword.com. Well, I want to mention something here, and everybody's talking about celebrating Easter and thinking about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to touch on something with that today. And I had kind of debated looking at a couple of things dealing with what happened with Jesus Christ in relation to science in the Bible, specifically medical science. And I guess the first thing I wanted to mention is in Luke chapter 22, in Luke chapter 22, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying, and the Bible says in verse number 41, and when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And people have criticized this, and they said, well, that's just metaphorical. It just means that he was sweating so much it was like drops of blood. It doesn't say that it was blood. And then other people have said, well, this is not possible. How can somebody sweat blood? That's just not possible. Well, actually, it is possible. And medical science knows that. It's called hematidrosis. And hematidrosis is a condition where some people under extreme stress, that there's capillaries that are in the, around the sweat glands. If they're in just the right location under the right conditions, those capillaries can rupture and blood will go into the sweat gland. And as you're sweating, the sweat and the blood is mixed together, and it will come out. Now, I remember working with a guy one time, long time ago, when I was in high school. I worked for this guy, and he would sweat. Now, he didn't sweat drops of blood, but he would sweat so much, the sweat would literally bead up on his forehead, and he had to have a handkerchief with him, and then drops would fall off as he was working. You know, he would actually, you know, be, I can remember him working over something, and there'd almost be like a puddle of water, you know, underneath where he was working, because the sweat was falling off his face in drops. And, you know, some people sweat like that. Well, if you can imagine those same drops of sweat containing blood, what would it look like? It would look like somebody sweating, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. It's a perfect example of something that can happen, has happened. I have known of some people that said that they've had times where they've sweat and they've rubbed their handkerchief across their face and it came back with a little bit of red on it because, you know, a little bit of that had taken place. So, you know, it is kind of amazing. It's not a real common thing, but it is a medical thing. It actually happens. And this was a result of the great stress that our Savior was under, great stress in his spirit, as he prayed earnestly for his disciples and for us, knowing what was about to happen as he approached the cross. And it so moved upon him that it just, the capillaries literally were bursting there in and around the sweat glands. And as he sweat there in that probably a humid night to begin with there in that Middle Eastern location, and as he was there and sweating, it would have appeared just exactly what the Bible says. Now, this is something that Luke puts in, and this is kind of interesting. Luke is, in his day, in addition to being a historian, he's also a medical doctor in his day. And Luke gives us this bit of information that attests to the extreme suffering that our Savior went through as he approached the cross. And this is something we need to consider. The Bible is accurate in its depiction of the sufferings of Christ. And we don't have time to get into some of the other things that took place on the cross, but there's a great deal of medical information here in the Bible that when you check it out, it lines up perfectly with medical science. It supports the Word of God, and it supports the fact that Jesus Christ prayed for us, and he knew what he was about to do. He didn't go to the cross by mistake. He didn't go to the cross by accident. He went to the cross in order to purchase our salvation with his own blood. And I believe this was the beginning of the shedding of blood, as he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
Well, thank you very much. And you always give such an interesting report, and I appreciate that very much. Today, Christians all over the world are celebrating what they call Holy Week, and it's talking about the events leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus. And then in this chapter we're going to talk about today, it talks about the meaning of that crucifixion. And you find out in the Bible, in the book of Acts, that Philip had gone down to Samaria, which is an area of Palestine, and he had preached, and he had a great successful meeting down there, and then God told him, go out to the desert. And so he went out there, and his fellow was in his chariot riding. He was an official of the Ethiopian government. And so he was reading from a passage in the book of Isaiah called Isaiah 53. And in there, it was talking about the crucifixion of Jesus, although it was written 700 years before he was crucified. And so Philip went up to the chariot and got to talking to the man, and he says, you understand what you're reading? And he said he didn't unless somebody told him. And so Philip began to explain it to him. And so we want to talk about that chapter today. Now, we're going to start in chapter 52 and verse 13, and then going into chapter 53 and talk about that and see what it says. Now, it starts in chapter 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. That means he's going to deal with great wisdom. He shall be exalted and extolled and very high. Now, Jesus, when he came, he said he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So the Son of God, when he came to serve, not to be served. And then his purpose was to die and give his life and pay for our sins on the cross of Calvary, see? Now, it says here in verse 54, it says, he was exalted and extolled and very high. Now, Jesus said, all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And Jesus was saying that, and the Bible teaches that Jesus, when he came, would be the Son of God, or also God the Son. It says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so it says in this verse, he is to be extolled and very high. Well, if he's God, he's very high. In Isaiah chapter 7, he talks about it more, and he says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. And so God takes on the form of a servant. And Jesus came to serve us, and the final act of service was paying for our sins. And that's what this chapter is talking about. Now, in the next verse, it says, as many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Now, we see right here, his visage refers to his face. It says it was marred more than any man. Why was this? Here's God taking on a human body and coming to this earth nearly 2,000 years ago, and being born in Bethlehem, taken on a human body in that town, and then living here for 33 years, and all he did was good. He raised the dead, healed the sick, in front of hundreds of thousands of people. And when he was put on trial later, nobody said he didn't raise the dead. Nobody said he didn't heal the leper. Nobody said he didn't open blind eyes of people that were born blind. He demonstrated that he was God, but he had absolute total power over everything. Even when they came to take him, when the military was sent out to take him and arrest him, they asked who he was, and he says, I am he. And he used the words of God, I am. When he did this, the whole group of soldiers fell on their back immediately by his power. But he allowed himself to be taken because he came for a spiritual reason. I was just watching public broadcasting in the United States, and they have a discussion whether it should be supported by the public. Well, the last election, I was watching this, and I was almost laughing about it because it's so ridiculous. But in there, they portrayed President Trump as a devil and Hillary as a saint. It's no longer Hillary, it's St. Hillary, you know, and I watched it a couple times. I thought, boy, you talk about not everybody has a bias, but boy, that was really pushing it. Then I watched just recently in public broadcasting, they're showing this thing about Jesus making him out to be Messiah as some kind of a political leader. And Jesus said, there now is my kingdom, not of this world. Of course, in the NIV, they take out now, so he's permanently grounded, not going to have a kingdom in some of these modern perversions. But he says, now is my kingdom not from hence, or my soldiers, my servants would fight, see? But his kingdom is of this world. And he was taken there, and he was taken at that time. Now it says his form, his visage was beaten, and so the soldiers took him and smashed him in the face with a rod over and over and over again and beat him. And yet he was God in human form. Socially sprinkled many nations, the kings shall shut their mouths at him. Now this is looking to the future. First, it's talking about his humiliation. But in the future, the kings of this earth will shut up when he says something. We have freedom of speech to a certain extent in the United States today. But there'll be a point when he comes to rule and reign, and as God, you won't be criticizing him at that time because he is the source of all truth, and so lies will not be permitted at that time. And it says the kings will shut their mouth at that time. For that which hath not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Now, that is, they may not have heard about who Jesus really was. And he is not like public broadcasting, just some kind of a political leader that is crucified for his political insurrection. No, Jesus, they mentioned John the Baptist, but they didn't mention what John the Baptist said. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And, you know, when they had sinned, God made a remedy for them. And it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, but he allowed an animal to die in their place. But that was only a picture, and an atonement was made. Atonement means their sins were covered for another period of time. But when Jesus came, he came to die and pay for sin. And so he died. John the Baptist said, he's the Lamb. He's the ultimate sacrifice to pay for all of our sins, so that when we meet God, we'll meet God without any record that we've ever sinned if we put our faith in him. Now it says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You see, whether you believe or not depends on where you spend eternity. Now, people have misrepresented faith as sort of like a leap in the dark, or you know, believe in a fairy tale or something, but no, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's all that the Bible says about Christ, the evidence of things not seen. Almighty God has given evidence of himself. First, there's evidence in nature. You know, you look at a bug, and we have no respect for a bug, but yet I see that thing, and it, man, it's a marvel. And you take one blade of grass, all the scientists in the world could not produce one blade of grass, even though they have a prototype of it, and they see how it's made. They can't produce a living blade of grass. But all of nature shows us that there's a God. I have a house, and the house I have, it has a plumbing system, it has a heating system, water tanks, windows, and so on. And it was built about 100 years ago. I haven't the faintest idea who built it. But I'll tell you one thing I know about it. He had some intelligence to put that house together. And when we look at creation, we see intelligence everywhere. So there's a God. But beyond that, God Almighty came to this earth. And he's given us a book of 66 books called the Bible. And these books have one unified message, and they all talk about this spirit being called God, Jehovah God. And it talks about the fact that he would come to earth, he would live here for a period of time, he would die and then rise from the dead. And when Jesus came, he had a passport. And the whole Bible is his passport. It told all the details. It told when he's going to come, 483 years after the order to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, where he was going to be born, where he was going to live. He was born in Bethlehem. He's going to live in Nazareth, Israel. That he was going to set the captive free, people that were slaves to their addictions and sins. And he still does that today, as millions of people addicted to drugs and liquor and so on are freed by the power of our living God, Jesus Christ. And then he was going to die for our sins and rise from the dead. So our faith in him is determined where we spend eternity. God says that for every sin there's a payment. His justice demands that sin be paid for. But his love says, I will come and pay the sin for all of mankind. And by faith in him, that is accepting the evidence that God has given us of Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. Now it says, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. Spiritually, it was dry in Israel at that time. The people had not heard from the Lord for 400 years, and the religious system at the time was mainly hypocritical, and so it was a dry ground spiritually. But it said he would grow up, he would come and be born, and then grow up in that climate. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So they didn't look at his outward beauty or even the things that they saw, that they did not desire him for that reason. He is despised and rejected of men. And though he healed men and opened blind eyes and raised the dead and fed the sick, and he went around doing good. And we as Christians, we need to follow that example. And anytime we see somebody that needs help, we ought to need to help them. The law of the Lord Jesus Christ is love God with all your heart, and so love your neighbors yourself. Everything that we want for ourselves, we would be willing to share and help our neighbor. And that's how Jesus lived his life. Everywhere there was a need, he met the need. If there was loneliness, he met that. If there was sickness, he met that. If there was death, he met that. He is the great meter. He is the great meter of needs. And he will meet your need today. He will meet your need for peace and joy and for knowing God, for and your need for knowing the truth, why we're here, what we're doing here, and where we came from and where we're going. And it says, and then he will one day take us to heaven. We'll live with him in eternal joy. Now it says he is despised and rejected man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And so everywhere he went, he was criticized, in spite of the fact that he did no wrong. He was acquainted with grief. He was betrayed and everywhere talking against. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. You know why man runs from God? Because we're sinful. You know, today, all over the world, they're murdering Christians. Why? It's one group that doesn't believe in murdering people. One group that believes in just loving your neighbors yourself and doing good to your neighbor. Why are they murdering Christians? today, and they're murdering by the tens of thousands worldwide. Why? Because man's sinful. He's a sinner. And the Bible says he's fallen. His nature was changed. If we look at the politics, even in the United States, and we see corruption there in the government and worldwide corruption, bribery and murder and all of those things. But it says, and so man in his sin, they turned against God. Man runs from God because he is a sinner. It says, we esteemed him not. They didn't look at Jesus as he really was, public broadcasting. Oh, they didn't look at him as the Son of God that came to die for our sins, that was really God in human form that rose from the dead. They didn't look at him. They every time Holy Week comes, Passover time comes, resurrection time comes, Easter time, all this time the media comes out and portrays Jesus in a way that is not biblical, is not historical, is fictitious. Then it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted. Now he bore our griefs. He, the sorrows that would come because we have rejected God, he has borne those. The sorrows that will come without Jesus Christ in the future for mankind, he bore those sorrows and carried our sorrows. And we esteemed him stricken of God. They said, well, God is just judging him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. You know, I've heard that some Muslims believe that the angels are going to beat them. Well, God came and was beat in your place. You don't have to be punished. You don't have to have the angels beat you. Jesus is God, and he came and was beaten in your place. He was bruised for our iniquity. In the English Bible, the King James, bruise is not just a slight wound. It's a terrible wound. It's a crushing wound. And it's bruised for our iniquities. That's our sins. He paid for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The future is going to be miserable for mankind without Jesus. But Jesus took that chastisement. And with his stripes, we are healed. Man has emotional problems. He has sin problems. He has physical problems. All of those problems, when Jesus died, have been paid for. And one day in the future, we will get a new body. We will have a sinless nature. We'll have a physical body without flesh and blood that will never grow old, never get sick. And our emotional situation will be healed every way. We'll be perfect like Jesus Christ because he died. All we like sheep have turned astray. You know, man is like a sheep. I had somebody say, well, how come there's so many religions? Because everybody's made it up, and they turned away from the truth of Jesus. We have turned everyone to his own way. You know, man's sheep are not too bright. I look today in Ohio, millions of hundreds of people are dying of all kinds of diseases. They're dying of AIDS. They're dying of drugs, overdosing. And why do people do this? We're like sheep, follow the leader, doing all kinds of things that are destructive, taking drugs, and all of these things. And we're like sheep turning away from God. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus paid for all of our sins. And so we need to receive him as our God and accept him as the one that died for us. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was before Pilate, and he didn't defend himself. No, he was accused. He just stood there and took it like a lamb. Because he came to die for our sins. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He didn't defend himself before Pontius Pilate. He allowed himself to be beaten. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who should declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He was absolutely perfect. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put his soul in offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He rises from the dead. If you're saved today, if you've accepted him, you're Jesus' seed. He didn't have physical seed. He wasn't married. But you're his spiritual seed. And it says, he shall see his seed. And he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. If you're his child today, he's satisfied. He said, I'm glad I did it. I'm going to spend eternity with you forever. You're going to be my child forever.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.